out of this church. August was 9 years ago that we joined the church, and so we hope the Lord to let us finish here and until he comes to get us. Amen. And so I have some good news. You remember my brother Terry, and so we've been praying for him, and I know some of y'all have. And Brother Laddie, I believe something happened to him. And I went to see him about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And I noticed there's something different. And of course, I've been witness to him a lot this year. And every time I send him money, I'd put gospel tracts in there. And when I ask him about being saved, he'll always say something about 1986. And then he kind of goes off because his mind's a mess. But he was clear-headed that day. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I've gotten saved. And he began to talk about the Lord, Brother Sam. They begin to talk about how that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible said no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He began to talk about how he loved his Bible and he reads it every day. I thought about Dad. Dad said that God gave him the assurance that Terry was going to get to go. I don't ever give up on your prayer. We've been praying for him for 52 years. I'm glad, thank God, God always honors his word. Hallelujah. I'm glad, glory to God, that I'll see my brother in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm glad he got birth in the family of God. I say glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. I appreciate you praying with me and asking God to save him. I believe he's on his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I dropped him back off at the group home that he lives in. And oh, me and the Lord had a good time. I'm telling you, we've prayed for him so many years. And I knew with his mind as being as messed up as it is that God would have to do it. And I've begged him for years to bind the forces of hell. It just shows you that God is able. Amen. All that he has, the ability. 2 Peter tonight, chapter 3. I just want to give you just a thought that's on my heart. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible said this second epistle. Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I'm just grateful tonight, hallelujah. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water and perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. If the Lord be my helper for a few moments, I want to preach on being willingly ignorant. Being willingly ignorant. I thought of in the beginning of this passage, Brother Grant, Peter said, I want to get you to be mindful. To be mindful of the things that we have been informed about the second coming of Christ. Brother Sam, we shouldn't be surprised how wicked our world is. We knew that it's going to be that way, and it's not getting better. I'm not a prophet of doom, but Brother Chris, we know it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. We are informed of that. And he said, I want to remind you of that, stirring up your pure mind of remembrance. But not only informed, we ought to be inspired, because thank God we know that it's just around the corner, that he is coming again. You know what? It ought to produce happiness in
entire heart. I tell you, Baptists, everywhere I go, they're the saddest people that I know, and they ought to be the happiest of people on the face of God's green earth. We know, thank God, one of these days we're pulling out of here. That trumpet's gonna sound, and the dead in Christ are getting up, and you and I, which are alive and remain, are going home. Thank God we ought to be the happiest people. We ought to walk in here with a spring in our step. We ought to get up every morning and say, hey, this could be the day. You know what? It could be the day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we celebrated Christmas around the throne of God? What a wonderful thing that'd be. Hallelujah. Amen. Ought to produce happiness in our life. Can I say, it ought to make us be prepared, living every day, that this could be our last. You know, if we honestly, you and me, all of us, if we got up every morning, Brother Dave, and we realized that this could be our last day, we'd live differently. We'd be more concerned about sinners. We'd be more concerned about those that we may have hard feelings with. We'd be more concerned about getting that right. We'd get over the things that aggravate us and the complaining that we do if we knew the Lord could come today. Amen. He said, I want you to be mindful. Then number two, he talked about the mockers. He said in verse 3 and 4 that they would mock against sin. I'm telling you, our world, Brother Blake, makes fun of sin. Our world, they mock it. Can I say, they make light of it. They openly commit it. They glory in it. They glory in sin today. They flaunt their homosexuality and their transgender garbage. Oh, for the day when men used to be ashamed of their wickedness and ungodliness. But there is no shame. And the sad thing about it today, the church is getting that way, that we're not ashamed of what we used to do. And what we, we're not ashamed anymore of the pictures they put on Facebook, how they're dressed and where they're at and what they're doing, and put on the country music they like and all of that nonsense. We're not ashamed of it anymore. We mock at it. He said they'd be mockers. I'm telling you, they mock at sin. Then he said they'd mock at the second coming. They'd say, man, we've heard that all of our life. Where is he? I've got news for you, friend. He's a coming. Hallelujah. It may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but thank God one day he's going to call. That trouble is going to sound, and we're going to pull up out of here, and we're going to the house. Let them mock, Brother Andrew, let them mock. Let them say what they will. It don't matter to me. I know what I know from the Word of God, and I know it's true, and I know it's real, and thank God it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. I was knocking on doors when I lived in Texas, pastoring a little church. Of course, I pestered him more than I pastored him. Amen. I was young and dumb, and now I'm just older and dumb. But anyway, I was knocking on doors, and Brother Chris, I knocked on a door on a Thursday night, and a fella, we got to talking, and he said, you Baptists, y'all use that second coming as a crutch. I said, friend, call it what you want to. It's going to happen. Amen. You know what I say? Let them mock. They call us fanatics. They call us fools to believe that the Lord is coming. But, Brother Chris, one day, thank God we're going to hear that trumpet sound. Amen. I'm glad of that. Hallelujah. Jesus declared that he was coming again. The angels declared at his ascension that he was coming back again. I'm going to give you three things that we see that they're willingly ignorant of. He said, number one, of the creation. The reason why they're willingly ignorant of the creation, first of all, because they'd have to accept the person of God. They would have to accept his existence. They don't want to accept that God is real because, what the world calls the weather, Mother Nature. They don't want to talk about God. You know, it's amazing. You could talk to people about anything, and you bring God up, and they got to go in a hurry. They really don't want, to recognize his existence. They don't want to recognize his eternality, that he is forever and that he's always been. They don't want to recognize his excellence, that he's holy. I've got news for you, friend. He's holy tonight. He's a holy, righteous God. And in our churches, we've forgotten about the holiness of God. I'm telling you, our church I came up under, the reason why the God moved in that church in such a way, because holiness was not only preached, it was practiced. And thank God, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost would meet in that church. I've seen sinners run out the building under conviction because of the holiness that was preached and practiced in the church. Amen.
Living in a day where you're a Pharisee, you're a legalist. If you just believe the Bible. You know, see, we that believe the Bible, we know we're nothing. So we're not boasting in ourselves. We're just boasting who he is. Amen. Oh yeah, they try willingly to, they're ignorant of the creation, the person of God. Number two, the power of God. Because if he's the creator, then he's a sovereign God, and then they've got to answer to him, and so they're willingly ignorant, the Bible said, of the creation. Number two, the catastrophic flood, verse 6 and 7. You know what? They're willingly ignorant of, number one, is the wickedness of man. He said in Genesis that man was wicked, his imagination, his thoughts on evil continually. Well, I'm telling you, we live in a wicked world. I was in a church last year, and there was a family that his grandparents were bringing the two granddaughters, 9 and 11. And their own parents, their children, were selling their daughters at 9 and 11. Can you imagine that? That's in America. That is how wicked that we are as a nation. And the world don't want to admit that. Brother Andrew, they don't want you to talk about it. They don't want to be made aware of their sin. I tell you, you'll never get right with God until you're willing to be made aware of your sin, that you're a sinner and you're not what you're supposed to be. Every time I got honest with God about myself, that's when I get the most help. Amen. But I don't try to cover it up. The wickedness of man. Number two, the wrath of God. When they think about the flood, they don't want to admit the wrath of God, that it's real. Brother Grant, that tribulation period, oh, the wrath of God that's going to be poured out. I got a family member years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago. We were talking one day and she said this. She said, "My God, he wouldn't destroy the world with a flood." I said, "Your God probably wouldn't." I said, "But the God of the Bible did." She didn't quite like that. But you know what? They can say what they want to. Oh, God is a God of love. Oh, yes, he is. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thank God that you and I could be saved. But he's a God of wrath. He's a God who expects holiness. He's a God who demands righteousness. And one day his wrath will be poured out upon this earth. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'm glad I'm going to be on the other side. Thank God. God sent around the marriage supper of the Lamb, enjoying my life, praise God. I'm glad it won't be here under the wrath of God, amen. They're willingly ignorant of the wrath of God. They don't want to admit that God is a God who demands. He demands. Young people, he demands out of your life. He expects things out of our life. He's holy. Not only the wrath of God, they willingly ignorant of the flood because of the wickedness, but of the word of God. If they recognize that God is the one and that there was a flood and there was a creation, then they'd have to accept the word of God. They'd have to accept, number one, that there's a place called hell. Did you know, I read something several years ago that said that 50 or 60% of Christendom didn't believe that there's a literal hell. That was 15 years ago.
Billy Graham was quoted in Time Life magazine in 1996, and he didn't say there was no fire in hell, but he said he didn't know it. Well, we do know it. It's in the Word of God. The world, Brother Jeremy, they want to deny that there is a flood because they have to recognize that God's word is true. Then they have to recognize that there's a place that's called hell. Then they have to recognize that there is pain in hell. And then they'd have to recognize that there is a path to hell. And that is by rejecting Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're saved here tonight. I don't know who's lost and who's saved. But I'm telling you this. If you try to go any other way, you're not going to make it. You have to go by the way of the blood, or you don't get to go, because it ain't about you. It's about what he did. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. I'm glad I get to go. I have no fear. I have no fret. Brother Sam, I don't lay in bed at night worrying if I'm going to die, where I'm going. I've already got that nailed down. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. My wife's uncle died a few months ago, and we went to see him. They told us, come see him. He's not going to make it. I believe he's in heaven. He got away from God. But we were there in the hospital room, and it was about 10 o'clock at nighttime. We got there. About 11:30, he was going to leave, and so grabbed his hand, and we prayed, and he said, Bob, he said, I know where I'm going. I know I'm saved. You know, when you're saved, you just know you're saved. There was no fear in his eye. He only lived 2 more days. I mean, he was close to death. But he knew that he'd had it settled. He knew that he'd done what God said to do. He knew that he wasn't trying to get there on his own. You'd be surprised how many people in church. I remember knocking on doors there in South Carolina several years ago, and I knocked on a door, and the lady answered, probably mid-60s, and I told her where it was from, the Galilee Baptist Church, and my name, and said, I'd like to know, do you go to church? And, oh, yeah, I've been teaching up here in the corner at the little Baptist church for 35 years. I said, that's wonderful. How long you been saved? And she said, well, I hope I am. She hopes she's saved. Because someone told her her good had to outweigh her bad. I've got news for you. There's no scales in heaven.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. You can't get there by being, because it isn't about you. It ain't about what you do. It's about what he's done. Amen. We accept that. And so we find that they're willingly ignorant of the catastrophic flood. Then number 3 in verse 9, they're willingly ignorant of his compassion. He talked about his promises. He says not slack concerning his promises. Boy, that's something.
Amen.
52 years, Brother Blake, of praying for my brother Terry.
Amen.
52 years. Amen. God's trains, they run slow sometimes, but they run sure.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Oh, hallelujah. I wish I was heaven before Terry gets here, but I can imagine when he makes it there. And after he sees the Lord and he sees my dad. Because dad would weep and shout and cry, and he'd punch me in the arm and he said, I know you don't believe it, but I'm telling you, he gets to go. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, one day, a glad reunion day. I'm glad his promises are so. He's not slack concerning his promises. I'm telling you, you may seem like God's forgotten where you're at. He hadn't forgotten where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life, and he's not slack. He may not do it tomorrow, Brother Danny, but thank God he's going to do it because of who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Willingly ignorant of his compassion, his promises, his patience, he said his long-suffering. You know why America has not been destroyed? Only the long-suffering and mercy of God. I'm sure it's over now, but I believe it was a year or two ago, 64 million babies that we have killed in abortion. 64 million. The wickedness. God has been long-suffering with mankind. I believe that Hurricane Helene was probably the judgment of God. He got tired of some things. You know, sometimes he just gets tired of some things. He gets tired when you thumb your nose at him, and when you stiffen your neck. My sister, she got saved and she's in heaven tonight. But I watched her, Brother Laddie, one time. We as a witness to her, and she actually went like this. She stiffened that neck. It's a miracle that God got through all of that and saved her by his grace. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. I've only got one more. I've got one brother that's still living that don't know the Lord. But the rest of my siblings, I thank God, outside of my brother that died several years ago, will be on the other side. The patients. And then he talked about the perishing. You see, they don't want to recognize that God is real, because then they recognize they're going to perish one day. I talked to my neighbor. I've tried to win him to the Lord. He told me one day he just didn't know what was true and what wasn't. And I asked him to let me tell him about it and talk to him about it. And he really don't want to hear about it. You know why? Because then they don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be held accountable. He talked about the perishing. Then let me give you three things and I'll be done. Three things that if they willingly believed it, they'd have to accept. Number one, the authenticity of the scriptures. They'd have to believe that the Bible has revealed truths. Can I say, listen, science doesn't prove the Bible. The Bible proves science. Amen? I don't need science to prove my Bible. It's the Bible that talks about in Isaiah that God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It's Leviticus where he talked about the life of the flesh is in the blood. I would have been good if they'd have known that. Poor old George Washington, they drained him all out and then he died. Amen. It'd have been good if they'd have known that. But we find the Bible that have to accept that it has revealed truths. Aren't you glad for your Bible tonight? Hallelujah. I say number two, the Bible has results. It changes a man's mind. A man who was maniac. Now, Brother Brian, my brother Terry, he's mentally ill. And it was amazing. Because normally I'm with him about 5 minutes and he loses it. And he starts talking, people's not there. We got all the way to McDonald's. He loves them frappes. I think that's what you call it. I don't drink them, but anyway. And so got him a fish sandwich and a frappe. And man, I looked over there while I, is that how you say it? Maybe. I looked over there at the table and he's crying.
Yeah.
He's crying.
Amen.
And I went over there and he said, Bob, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming by and taking me out. I want to thank you for getting me a sandwich. And man, I started crying. I said, praise God. I said, you don't know how happy I am to do it. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you, it was almost all the way back to the house before he kind of got out there. And then it wasn't bad as normal. He actually was kind of talking about the devil giving him a hard time, how he would like to tell him this and tell him that. I'm telling you, God can change a man's mind. Only the Holy Ghost of God could do that. He took that maniac of Gadara, hey, and put him in his right mind. Hallelujah. I'm glad he still can. Amen. I'm about to have a spell. I say glory to God. I'm glad he can. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Changes a man's mind. He changes a man's morals. Remember the woman at the well, how he changed her life. She left a water pot and left with the well. Amen. He changes a man's motives. Oh, Zacchaeus was willing to give back fourfold of what he had stolen. I'm glad the Bible has results. Number two, they'd have to accept the accuracy of the scripture. Not only the authenticity, but the accuracy of it. They have to accept all of its content. You know, we have our gainsayers. They don't believe that Jonah got swallowed by a whale. I'm going to tell you something. If my King James Bible would have said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd have believed that too. Amen. All of its content. All of its concepts about self, about sin, acknowledging that man is guilty and the atonement for sin is Jesus who paid the sin debt, acknowledging the Savior, the concepts that he died upon the cross. Thank God, it's not by works, it's not by water, it's not by worth of men, it's only by him. Amen. They'd have to accept that, but they willingly be ignorant of the scriptures. Because they don't want to accept the authority. They don't want to accept the accuracy of the scriptures. Then can I say lastly, they'd have to accept the authority of the scriptures. They'd have to accept that, thank God, it's power to condemn. You know what John said in chapter 3? He that believeth not is condemned already. See, here's where easy believism gets mixed up a little bit. They believe a man is always convicted. That's not true. But he is always condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. He's always condemned. There's just times when the Spirit of God draws a man. Brother Ronnie Simpson said he got saved at 20-some years old, and it was only the third time that the Holy Ghost ever dealt with him, and he was raised in church. You see, you're not always under conviction, but you are always condemned. That is why when the Spirit of God moves upon you and reveals to you you're lost, you better move. Because he's not obligated to come back. Aren't you glad that he did? I didn't get saved the first time. Second time. But Joshua, it was the third time that I heard the gospel before I responded. Amen. We find the authority of the scriptures, the power to condemn, the power to correct, the power to convert. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again of incorruptible seed. My King James Bible, love my Bible. Then number 4, power to comfort. Brother Grant talked about in his testimony the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Any one of us have been saved any length of time, you've experienced that. When you've been overwhelmed, then all of a sudden there's a presence from another world that comes down and wraps himself around you and lets you know it's going to be okay. Let you know you're going to see another day. I remember my third year in Bible college, and man, I was going through a spiritual battle. I got up one morning, I was so discouraged. I told Patty, I said, I'm done. I said, I'm not going to school tonight. I'm finished. I'm not even reading my Bible this morning. I'm so tired of this battle. I've been fighting it for months. I'm not even going to do it. I worked at an old weaving mill, and you had to wear them earplugs. We had 600 machines on the floor, them old weaving machines. I put them old earplugs in, and my job was to grease them old looms. And I wasn't there 10 minutes. But grabbing the Holy Ghost. He come to me real sweet. He said, it's going to be okay. He said, it's going to be all right. He said, the sun's going to shine again. I need you to go home and get ready for school. I need you to read your Bible. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And I tell you, I cried and shouted, and they couldn't hear me. Praise God. Tears running down my cheeks. But you know who did that? The Holy Ghost. Thank God he came by. And Brother Grant, he said, you know what? You're going to see another day. Well, that's been since 1988. And thank God I'm still here. I'm glad of the power of the Word of God. I'm glad, thank God, of the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God, the authority, power to compel to live holy, and then to live holy by wholly giving our life to Jesus, and then compelling us to go after sinners. And then not only to compel, but lastly, the authority, the power to keep us clean. Jesus said, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Amen. I guess what's burdened me more than anything is the state of the church wherever I go. The carnality that's overtaken us. The carnality and the worldliness. And there's no holy desire. Well, I appreciate the church. I appreciate Bible Baptist Church. We have a great man of God who pastors and preaches with his heart and love and preaches the truth. And we hear Brother Grant and others, and he brings in men that'll give you the word of God and to try to keep us clean so that God can use our life. I cherish his relationship more than any relationship with anybody in the world. I wonder how you do. We're standing tonight. I don't know what you need tonight.